Well, good morning. It is great to be in Petoskey. My name is Scott Garziella, and I'm very new. I'm the new executive pastor here at Genesis, and if you are new as well, it's good to be new along with you. So as Norm Byers was talking to me about coming up to Petoskey, living up here, serving, getting part of what God's doing at Genesis, being a part of that, I have to admit I was a little concerned about the snow. We're from the Lansing area. We get snow there as well, but you get a lot more snow up here. So last Sunday, our first Sunday up here, it snowed. I thought, well, I'm in Petoskey. I'm going to do it. I got out the snowblower, and I was in it. I'm like, when in Rome, when in Petoskey, get out the snowblower. And Norm told me it's not that bad, the snow. I thought, well, that's great. On the other hand, has anybody seen Norm this morning? Norm is in Florida, so that's how it works. Get me up here, and then he goes south to Florida. Norm is actually serving down there, doing an assessment center for church planters, and he and Brenda are getting a little vacation time as well, so we're really glad for that. Norm just had a birthday this last week. He's getting older. He needs to go to Florida during the winter. So we better take that picture off, or we'll all want to go to Florida as well. I want to tell you about a trip that I took a number of years ago. I was a junior in high school. And I lived in the Chicago suburbs and traveled with my soccer team to Grand Rapids for a preseason soccer tournament. And I had the privilege, along with a couple of other team leaders, to be in the coach's Mustang convertible. And we were driving down the highway in Michigan, and I remember so vividly that this new song came on the radio by a pretty up-and-coming group called Cool and the Gang. And the music started blasting, celebrate good times, come on. You know the song, right? It's become a classic, fortunately. And I remember just such a great time in the car, these great feelings, celebrating good times. When I think back to it, I ask myself, what was I celebrating? We hadn't won any games yet. We hadn't even played any games yet. We were just sort of celebrating a feeling of some kind. Now, this is what Kool and the Gang said about celebrating good times. It really doesn't matter what you're celebrating, just celebrate. Bring your good times and your laughter too, because we're going to celebrate your party with you. And every weekend around our community, there's some kind of a party going on, some kind of a celebration. But what are people celebrating? Most of the time, people are partying to party. They're celebrating to celebrate. My goal this morning for you and for myself is to look at a text of Scripture that also encourages us to celebrate, but with some substance. So we're going to be in Psalm 98 this morning. If you're using the Journey Bible, it's found on page 735. 735. This song, or psalm as it's called, was written a long time ago, and so we don't have the music to it anymore. We just have the lyrics or the words. So it won't move your feet like Kool and the Gang might, but I hope that it moves your spirit. Would you stand with me as I read Psalm 98? It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together with joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." You may be seated. I believe that Psalm 98 is a great guide for people who want to celebrate. Not just celebrate good times, but celebrate what I call God times. The times in your life when God meets you in a special way and is making a difference in who you are and who you will become. And the interesting thing is that when you take time to celebrate God times, it does something for you. God wants us to celebrate not just to give him praise, it's a wonderful thing to do, because celebrating changes who you are. Celebrating changes your future. It gives you empowerment and faith for what is going to come. So how do you experience that surprising outcome of celebration, that empowerment of faith? It begins with the first step of looking back. We look back and remember our God story. Take a look at verse 1. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Why? Because he has, past tense, done marvelous things. Do you have a God story? Has God done something in your life at some time? Gotten your attention? Provided for you? Gotten you through a difficult time? If so, that's all part of your God story. Don't ever forget it. Remember it. Celebrate it. If you can't put your finger on a God story yet, I want to suggest that maybe your God story begins today. Maybe as we celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, you come to the cross for the first time today. Maybe you're here today because someone invited you, and that's the beginning of your God story. God at work in your life. See, true celebration is always rooted in a real event. That's why birthdays and anniversaries qualify as true celebrations. There's some past event that we're remembering. We remember the vows that we took, perhaps, on a wedding day, and that empowers us for the future. Time and time again, God's people, the people of Israel, were told, celebrate, celebrate. Don't forget what God has done. Why do you think God had to remind them of that so often? Because we're good forgetters, aren't we? I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. And it's so easy to forget what God did for me yesterday if I don't celebrate it. So much so that God commanded his people to celebrate. In the Old Testament, we find all these festivals and celebrations planned throughout a calendar year. Why? Because God wanted to keep them busy? Because God needed the praise? No, because God wanted them to remember his grace so that they would be empowered for their future walk with him. Forgetting the grace of God is such a terrible thing. And yet we're guilty of it all the time, aren't we? Forgetting what God has done, and we get to be one of those, "What have you done for me lately, God?" kind of people. Today we celebrate a meal of remembrance. And that meal is grounded in a real event. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. And that's worthy of our celebration. We celebrate today the gospel that Jesus saves. And don't just today remember what Jesus did on the cross. When you take the bread and the cup, I want to encourage you to also remember what Jesus is doing and has done, not just on the cross, but in your life, because Jesus saves. And that's why the text begins with, "Sing a new song." Why? Because we look back and remember he has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So what are the key God moments in your life? Think about them for a minute. Let's just take a moment and reflect. If you had to identify three times in your life when God was really present, when he was really speaking to you or leading you forward in some special way, do you ever celebrate those? I want to invite you, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, when we take the bread and the cup, to make that a time of reflection and remembering and celebrating, because here's the truth. The more you celebrate, the more you remember. And the more you remember, the more you're able to celebrate. The two go hand in hand. Norm suggested I tell you a little bit about myself as I'm giving the message today. And so I want to fast forward just a few years from my ride in the Mustang convertible to life in college. I was an economics and math major at Wheaton College in Illinois. And had a kind of my future sort of mapped out, at least in my own mind, but God had a different future. And I remember going through a particular season. This was one of my God moments, part of my God story, and that's why I want to share it with you. My mom was going through some chronic illness, and that was troubling me. I was starting to question the things that I'd been taught from the Bible. Are they real? Is this God for real? And I remember walking around my dorm room kind of arguing with God, asking God, are you real? It's kind of an interesting thing to ask God, are you real? It kind of answers the question, doesn't it, if you're talking to him? And I wrestled with God, and I wrestled with God, and I remember so vividly that season of my life. And can I tell you what happens when you wrestle with God? Guess who wins? God pinned me. I was his. And over a period of time, I had to just completely surrender my life to Christ. That was step one. And then after doing that, God called me then into ministry. And that becomes an anchor point of my life that when I do this meal of remembrance, I go back to. Why? Because there come times in life where I don't want to follow God anymore. Or where I just feel like quitting this whole ministry thing. But those anchor moments remind me, do I really want to wrestle with God again? Because I remember what that was like. And since I wrestled with God and he pinned, I surrendered myself to him. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Why would I want to leave that? But I forget if I don't take time to celebrate. See, the gospel story always has a yesterday component, a today component, and a forever component. So our yesterday component is remember your story, your God story. He's been part of your life. Don't ever forget it. Which brings us to the today component, and that's this. Make some noise. Celebrate your God story. Christian celebration is always active and noisy, always participatory. Let's take a look at verse 4. There's some strong words in here. Shout for joy to the Lord. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music with a harp, with a trumpet, with a blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord. Kind of makes some of our worship music sound like elevator music. I mean, it's meant to be noisy. If sometimes you come into worship, you go, man, it's kind of noisy in here. Well, maybe that's because we're celebrating God times. And it's okay to get noisy about what God has done, because worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is active. Now, you need to remember what God has done so that you can celebrate what God has done. Imagine going to a birthday party. Maybe an 8-year-old child's birthday party. And there's festivity. There might be hats, maybe little blower things. At least there's a cake with some candles. We sing happy birthday. Could you imagine going to a celebration like that and just sort of sitting there? Oh, we're singing? No, I don't feel like singing. I'm not singing happy birthday. I'm not going to have a smile on my face. I'm not going to celebrate this kid's life. I mean, you'd be the grouch of the century. Come on. You're going to get into it. You're going to celebrate. We gather on a Sunday morning to celebrate. You can get in your own quiet time at home and remember what God has done and celebrate. And that involves getting active. Now, last Sunday, after I did my snow blowing, I went out to Walmart to get, I was looking for a router to get Wi-Fi set up at the house we're at. And while I was there, Super Bowl Sunday, they were back in the electronics section, of course, Super Bowl. Huge TVs on sale, right? Last moment, get your big screen TV before the big game. And I want you to imagine if you walked into Walmart and saw a 72-inch Samsung 4K TV on sale for $50. Would you get excited? Would you buy a couple of them and just give them away to friends? You'd probably text people and say, you got to get down here. There's TVs for $50. I'd be so all over that, I'd probably buy them all out. But you know what? It's just a stupid TV in the end. Why do I get more excited about that deal than I do get excited about what Jesus Christ has done in my life and what Jesus Christ is going to do in my life? So how do you do this celebrating? What does it look like? It doesn't necessarily mean you're jumping up and down and waving your hands and singing your way to work. It means that you're at least vocal. You're telling people what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life. Just get vocal. Maybe journal. Maybe write stuff down so that you can remember and celebrate as well. Because can I tell you something? If you're not doing the celebrating, all of creation is doing the celebrating. And creation doesn't want to celebrate alone. Creation wants you to participate as well. Did you see what was said there in the text in verse 7 through 9? Let the sea resound and everything in it. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains sing with joy. This is both now and in the future when Christ comes. And the Bible tells us there's a lot of noise in God's kingdom. When somebody comes to faith in Jesus, you know what the angels do? In Luke 15, it tells us they celebrate. They don't just go, oh, look at that, someone's saved. They go, hey, somebody trusted Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? And they have a celebration. In the book of Revelation, which is a vision of what's going on in heaven now and will go on in heaven in the future, read it sometime and see how noisy it is in heaven. Revelation 5, in a loud voice, thousands of angels sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. In a loud voice, chapter 7, is a multitude of believers like me and you from every language and tribe and nation across the world. And what are we doing? Crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. In a loud voice. Chapter 19, John heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude shouting, hallelujah. Salvation belongs to our God. Do you get the idea that God's kingdom is meant to be noisy with some celebration? We've been too quiet because we've been too ignorant of what God has been doing in our lives. We've become too complacent about what God has done. We've become too greedy, saying, what are you going to do for me today, God? Now, before you think that I'm just Mr. Noisy, because I'm not all the time, or I'm suggesting that you are either, right? There's different personalities. Some are louder, some are quieter. Christian quiet is necessary. We get kind of quiet sometimes during the meal of remembrance, and that's important. You need quiet times to reflect, to let your mind get out all the noise, and to remember what God has done. But just as Christian quiet is necessary, so is Christian noise. Make some noise. Tell people that God is alive, that Jesus lives, that he's active in your life, that he's active in your church, and that he can be active in someone else's life as well. And so invite them. Now, I am half Italian and half German. And growing up, I had sort of this schizophrenic experience when I was with different sides of my family. If some of you have some Northern European blood in you, you know that that side of things is kind of quiet, a little more reserved. You take turns talking. And then when I was with my Italian side of the family, you know, it's just a free-for-all. If you want to talk, if you want to be heard, you just have to talk louder than someone else. Those are the rules, right? That's how that works. Now, my wife, who's mostly Swedish, Northern European, had a little adjusting to do when she got with the Italian side of things, because she was just waiting, you know, for her turn to talk. Guess who never got a chance to talk? So there's a cultural element to noisy and to quiet, but can I just tell you, both are good. Both are important. Be quiet to remember, and then let that burst out in some kind of telling people about your faith in Jesus Christ. So my remembering yesterday, my celebrating today, empowers my faith for the future. So our third step in all of this is to faith forward. Not face forward, but faith forward. To be confident in God's faithfulness to carry you onward. Has God been faithful in your past? Has God been faithful in your past? Yes. Remembering that ought to give you so much confidence for whatever you're going to face tomorrow. Because if God has been faithful then and he's faithful today, you don't need to stress about whether God's going to be faithful with whatever you're facing tomorrow, yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to see that pattern in Scripture. Verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song, present tense. It's what we're doing today. Why? Because he has done marvelous things, past tense. Then we go to the last verse, verse 9. Sing before the Lord, present. Why? For he will judge the nations with equity. Future. We can sing today because of what he's done, and we can sing today because of confidence that he will bring all things right. You ever get disturbed about the world? You ever wonder what's true in Washington? You ever wonder, you know, is God going to ever fix this? I can trace God's work in my life and in the world and through the cross and just go, God's got it. He's going to make it right. That's what Psalm 98 says. So I can celebrate today. Even though I have no idea how it's all going to pan out exactly, I know it's going to be in God's hands. Let me summarize it this way. This is my paraphrase of what I'm trying to say. Today's celebration of yesterday's grace empowers tomorrow's faith. Today's celebration, what you're doing even right now. Looking back to what Christ has done on the cross and in your life strengthens you and empowers you for what you're going to do tomorrow. And that sequence of looking back, celebrating, and being empowered can be short-circuited at any spot. If you refuse to look back, you won't be strengthened for tomorrow. If you look back, but don't make any noise about it today, you won't be strengthened for tomorrow. And if you're just looking for tomorrow and completely ignoring what God has done in the past, well, good luck, because you're going to be on a roller coaster ride wondering where is God and what is he doing. Now, as I'm talking about the celebrating, it's possible that you might think it's all about good times. But God times are not always good times in the sense of feeling good. Tammy, my wife, and my daughter Grace and I left our town of Weberville, which is outside of Lansing, Michigan. And I'd served there for 28 years, and it was a rough letting go. Because we left some great people and some great times, and we did a lot of remembering and a lot of crying and just seeing God's mark on our lives and the lives of the people that we served and we ministered to. But I'd be lying if I told you that all of those 28 years felt like good times. Because there were difficult times. There were times when I wanted to quit. There were times, as Norm said last week, when ministry was really, really hard. And I need to remember those times as well. Why? Because as much as I'm coming to Genesis, where I'm also discovering great people and great ministry, and I anticipate great relationships, I'm experienced enough to know, and there will be hard times. And there will be times I might feel like quitting. Don't worry, it's only week two. I'm not going to quit yet. But I might feel like it. And if I don't remember that God saw me, not just saw me through those times, but turned them into amazing blessings, then I'm apt to want to quit. But when I hit the first big roadblock, when I hit the first hurdle, when I come home and I want to quit, I can remember my God times. And say, my God saw me through. My God redeemed that situation. My God changed me and changed the lives of people. And even though it looks like a giant dead end right now, I believe God will do that again. So today I can gather with you, whom many of you I don't even know yet, and I can celebrate God times because of what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do as well. Again, it doesn't mean they're all feel-good times. See, what Kool and the gang said is bring your good times and your laughter, and we'll celebrate. They don't want the hard times. They only know how to celebrate the good times. Here's the good news of the gospel, the truth that Jesus saves. Jesus says, bring your bad times. Bring your hard times. Bring your sin. Bring your failure. Bring those times to Jesus and watch him change them, transform them, redeem them, bring you up out of the pit into something wonderful, something good. See, when you look back and you see the good times, praise God. When you look back and see the difficult times, you could say, oh, woe is me. Or you can see what God has done and say, wow is God. Wow is God. And every time I read a text and study it, isn't it amazing how you can always come up with some new teaching in there, new truth, new application that God does in your heart and life? This is what it was for me this time. It was in verse 3. As he was talking, as the psalmist was talking about praising God for what he's done and looking forward to what God will do in the future, he said in verse 3 that God has remembered his love and his faithfulness. Norm told me you're speaking in front of the meal of remembrance this morning. So I kept thinking about how do we remember what God has done? How do I coach people to remember, to celebrate, and to faith forward? And then it dawned on me that as we do this meal of remembrance, not only are we remembering, guess who else is remembering? God is remembering his love to us. That's what it says. He remembered his love and his faithfulness to his people. I know, what a beautiful, I'm getting chills thinking I'm going to hold that cup and I'm going to hold that bread and I'm going to think about what God has done for me. And then I'm going to think about the fact that God's thinking about me. And God's remembering his love today, his commitment, what his son did on the cross. And so if you're going through difficulty or failure, you're struggling, you're wondering, God, do you care anymore? The answer is yes. He's remembering his love as well. Now, I wanted to start today kind of where I finished in Weberville 2 weeks ago with a passage that reminds us that Jesus saves yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to put up on the screen the text of the message that I gave last time from Philippians chapter 1. Let me read this to you and pay attention to the yesterday, today, and forever component. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi and says, I thank my God every time I remember you, past. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's the celebration, because I'm remembering what God has done. And I think about that from the church we came from, but I'm also anticipating it here. Pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, past, until now, present. Being confident of this, that he who began, past tense, a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you see the forever component? God's working. If he's worked then, he'll work now, and he'll keep working until Christ returns. Jesus saves yesterday, today, forever. And that is more exciting than a Friday night party. That is more exciting than a Super Bowl party, which has kind of already evaporated in our minds, hasn't it? That's gone. It's an event, but not much of one. Here's our takeaways today. Know your story. What has happened? What is happening? Celebrate your story. Tell it to others and ask them, what's God been doing in your life lately? Invite them to celebrate their story, and then allow it to empower your future story. Our theme is not Jesus saved, it's Jesus saves. It's ongoing. Let that be part of your life. I'm going to invite those that are serving the Meal of Remembrance to come up, as well as the worship team to come up as I lead us in prayer this morning. And if you're here today, and we're going to begin to kind of quiet our hearts, Jay's going to lead us through that. But if this whole idea of celebrating Jesus saving you seems new to you, even as we take the Lord's Supper, it's as simple as letting God pin you. Give your heart to Christ. Confess your past to him. Accept his grace in the present so that you can face tomorrow as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're gathered today to be quiet, to remember your love, and to remember that you're remembering your love for us. We're grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. We're grateful for your power that raised him from the dead. We're also grateful for what you've done in our lives. We're remembering that. And Lord, we want to celebrate this meal together. We want it to empower us for what we're going to encounter tomorrow, because there will be difficulties. There will be obstacles. But as we face them, we are so confident that your power is greater than anything the world can throw at us. I know it by faith, but I also know it by experience now. Forgive me for forgetting. Forgive me for being complacent. Maybe that's the confession, the repentance today around the Meal of Remembrance, is the sin of forgetting. But then let us take hold of the truth that you never forget, that you are always faithful, and your grace will carry us forward. Teach us, Lord, to celebrate God times. In Jesus' name, amen.